sound good, don't they?
I think so. Got Taylor Melanson on the guitar. She does a great job. And we had our own Miss Natalie Schrader on the piano. Good job. Good job. All right. So it's been about a week since we've actually begun doing summer things, like going to Faith Week and such. But this is the first time after the fact that we've been able to, like, get together and sort of give you guys, like, a sort of a glimpse as to what we've been doing this summer. And we had to wait until after the association camp, and that was a couple weeks ago, and then I kind of got married, so we were gone a week. Really. It's okay, because the pastor was gone a week too, wasn't you? So this is the first time we've actually had a chance to, like, sort of talk about what God has been doing with us this summer. So the very first week of June, we went down to a lovely place in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. We went to Faith Week for, I don't know, the countless year in a row now. But it was really great. As always, Brad Fogarty was the speaker, and he was just very malleable to the Spirit, and he let the Spirit speak through him as he did. And our lesson was hashtag follow. I'm not sure what exactly the hashtag adds to the following aspect, but we did look at what it means to be a follower of Christ, like identifying how we lock into, how we want to be a follower of Christ, what it looks like, and how we can live that. It was great, and we had an awesome worship team. We learned that song that we just sang. It was pretty great. I enjoyed it. And we also just got to fellowship with one another, and we got to know each other a little bit better, whether that was, you know, just hanging out in the cabin, making bed forts. Brian? Yeah, we had a cabin all to ourselves, so we made use of it. And I don't know what the girls did. I don't think I want to know what the girls did. I'm sure there was hairspray involved, cards. Right, that is the rule.
What happens in the cabin stays in the cabin.
Yeah, the unspoken rule of Faith Week. But it was great. For the associational camp, I wasn't able to go this year because I was sort of getting married again.
Again
in reference. Surprise. It was a very, very short-lived thing. No. No, but I've been in the past, and in my experience, it's been a really great time to sort of, like, focus in and, like, grow relationships with other churches at these meetings. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the students now. So students, this is your time to shine. Just talk about what the Lord is revealing on your hearts.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Taylor, and I've been coming to church here for about a year now. And Faith Week was a lot of fun. It was a whole lot of fun. The main thing that really got to me was the worship part of it, because, like, I gravitate towards music a lot, and it really kind of spoke to me more than even the messages did, even though the messages were still awesome. But a lot of the songs that we sang really just kind of opened my eyes to the things in my life that weren't really necessarily bad for me, but they weren't good for me either. And, like, there was a song called Christ is Enough, and it was a song that I sang, and in my head I was thinking, oh wow, there's all this stuff going on in my life that really doesn't matter compared to Christ. I mean, Christ is enough. He's really not really comparable to anything. And it just, that's really what touched me most about Faith Week. And then the people there were so friendly. And the food was amazing, just adding that. And yeah, I had a lot of fun, and hope I get to go in again next year, so.
Okay, my name's Mariah, and the thing that I liked about Faith Week was the talent show. And how Natalie beat Brian in the talent show by having a dance off. But the crowd did cheer for her more, so she beat him.
She even admitted that I was a better dancer than her.
He was really good, though. Okay, well, I liked the talent show because of that, Natalie beating Brian. And Taylor was in the talent show too. She sang really good. I don't know what else to say about that. Oh no.
Okay, that's okay.
Oh no, no, no.
Oh, that's cute. My name's Ashley. I'm pretty sure you all know me. If you don't, you're lying. Okay. But I had a lot of fun. I've been going to this church for a while, but Faith Week just, I mean, it was really fun and touching to people. Just going there and meeting a lot of people really touched me. And the talent show was just fun watching people who had the guts to get up there. I mean, a lot of people judge them and stuff, but I know I could never do that. So just, and I met a lot of people and out of other churches there. I mean, that was fun too. Just going out, and yeah, the food was great. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. And, but yeah, I had a lot of fun. And just the worships, just sitting there and listening what they had to say really touched me too. And yeah. That's it.
Okay, and I was told I have to stand up because nobody can see me otherwise. This was the first year that I've been able to go to Faith Week, and Ashley has always come back and told me how awesome it is, and I'm like, yeah, it's camp. It's church camp. I've been in church all my life. It's church camp. But it was really awesome. they have a time for the leaders to worship while the students are worshiping. And in that time, we learned about how there's a war going on in our world against good and evil. And they gave us tools to help the students to win the war. And that was a really good lesson for me to learn. So, thank you.
It was awesome.
So, I'm the other Ashley of the group. I'm the resident drummer. I'm Black Ashley. That's White Ashley. But Faith Week has always been, like, a really good thing for me. Like, I love it. I've been going to there for years. And, like Taylor said, wherever she is, Taylor, the worship was really good. There was this one song that, like, we sang almost every night, and it still hit everybody every night. It was called Break Every Chain, and it was just saying that God can break every chain that you have. Like, there's nothing that's too big for God. God's bigger than the boogeyman, as VeggieTales says. But, like, it was saying, like, in the song, it was literally just over and over again, like, God can break every chain. He has the power. And then there's an army rising up that's for God, and that we're going to change the world. We have to, like, live this out. We can't just be, like, on Sundays, hey, I'm a Christian today, and then go back home and, like, party and stuff. Like, that's not going to work. That you're not breaking your chains by that. Breaking your chains means that Jesus has, like, changed you forever. Like you're not going to be the same person. And I hope that, like, from that experience that I'm trying to start changing. But, like, the messages were showing us that, hey, Jesus is always going to be there for you no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. God's going to be there. Like, he's standing right beside you. He's helping you along. He's not just going to turn his back on you. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. God always loves you. He's got unconditional love for you. Yeshua is his name. He's always going to be there for you. And that's the lesson that I got from it. Like, also, the food was pretty great, as they've been saying. The worship was even better. We played a lot of card games, and we beat a lot of people at them. We met a lot of churches there, had a bunch of friends, all came together. But even though we had a bunch of fun and everything, the main message through all of it is Jesus. Like, that was Faith Week. It's just about getting to know God and getting closer to Him. So we need to like bridge that barrier and just get closer to Jesus.
Hi, I'm Brian. If y'all don't know me, my name is Brian. That is so distracting. Okay. really? Okay. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Okay. What? Okay, well, the best thing that happened at Faith Week was, like, I got a lot, but I'm gonna name, like, a couple here, but, like, one of them was, like, whenever we were driving over there, like, cliffs that hanged over the street, like, all the way across the street, afraid that they were about to fall, and we got peed on by cows. Brady was the one that was most freaking out, just screaming.
I'll clarify in a minute.
Natalie admitted that I was better dancing than her.
She told me.
See? We made a bed for it. Mainly Corey did the pushing. I just sat there and watched him do it. So did Braden and Alec. So, yeah. We had to take night showers because our bathroom lights were knocked out. So you never knew how much soap you're going to put on your hand until actually, like, it started going over your hands. So you use flashlights. Well, like, Ashley said about break chains, like, that, like, whenever, like, I think it was, like, one night before the last night over there, I, like, that was the first time, like, I think half of the people have ever seen me cried. Yeah. It's kind of shock for them. So, and I had a lot of fun there. Made a lot of friends. I was playing Gaga Ball. Do y'all know what that is?
No. Tell them.
You're like in an octagon shaped and you're inside. Like, you have to hit the ball around. I think they have a picture of it up there. Maybe. Besides volleyball, be quiet. I'm talking, you're not. And you try not to get hit in the legs or below with the ball, kickball. And I'm trying to think of something else here. Oh, that slide right there. That's a blue on it. Okay, it's like three slides away. You'll see it. It's like really complicated. And one thing I learned that, like, it's hard to get all your chains broken by God unless you actually, like, let out all the stress that you have. Like, that's what I did. Hurt pretty bad because I got a headache. And
be quiet.
And I had a lot of fun there. That's all I got to say. That picture.
I feel like some of our students are not going to be public speakers in the future. I love them all, but oh dear. So this is my third year going to Faith Week, and I was kind of like Trisha before I first started going. You know, I grew up going to church camp. Like, that's what we did. Like, if I didn't get to go to church camp that summer, I would have thrown a fit. So, like, that was my life. I always went to church camp. And when I started going to Faith Week, I was like, wow, there's something different here. And I can't even explain it other than the fact that, like, the Holy Spirit moves there, unlike any place that I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, they talked about He breaks chains, like, it's gone. And it's not just the chains of pornography and alcohol and, you know, drugs and whatever else. Like, yes, those are serious chains. But on me, He breaks the chains of apathy, of me saying, hey, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing rather than read the word. You know, like, I have this book that I just throw around casually because
I just have it and whatever. Whereas there's some places where they don't have that and they don't have the opportunity to learn that, and that breaks my heart. Because I just treat it like it's nothing. But when I dig into it, there's a wealth of information in there that I am rich in that. I'm rich in the knowledge of Christ. Not, you know, the fact that I have money in my bank account, because that's temporary, but the fact that I have riches in heaven. And when I dig into it, I receive that wealth. You know, when I ask, I receive. When I knock, the door is open to me. But I love going to Faith Week because, you know, he works. God works like nowhere else. And yeah, we have fun and we joke around, and we didn't have a lot of people go this year, and so we didn't have the opportunity to have many of our own sports teams. And so that gave us a chance to be on teams with other churches, which was really awesome because we got to kind of hang out with some people that we might not have met before. And we met some people from Eastwood who are like super awesome volleyball players. Like this girl who's in probably 7th or 8th grade, and she was on the high school team and kicking butt because she's awesome. And so we got to hang out with some of these really cool people from other churches because we weren't as large of a group, and so we got to meet them. So that was really awesome. And the Ashleys won, so that was cool. So they're pretty legit. But we had fun. The food was great. Gaga Ball is awesome. We're trying to get one for here when we build the new Family Life Center. No promises, but talk to Mary Dudley and Laura Reith about that. But and that's fun, and that's great, and it's awesome. But the reason that we keep going back every year is because God moves, He works, He changes lives, He changes hearts. And I see it every year. And every year I come back from there with a renewed dedication to serve and to learn. I accepted Christ when I was 4 years old, but I didn't understand, you know, and I think that a lot of Christians are like that we accepted Christ when we were young, and then it isn't until later that we really understand what it means to follow Christ. And through going to Faith Week, I'm able to see that more. That it's not just about, you know, like I said, like going to church on Sundays, and then I go home and it's the same as it was before. You know, it's not just that I come to church on Sundays and I have my Monday night Bible study, my Wednesday night church. It's not just that. That's important, and that's going to keep me going and keep me moving. But I am a follower of Christ all the time. You know, when the disciples followed Christ, they didn't just follow Him on the Sabbath day. They followed Him everywhere. They ate with Him. They slept with Him. They walked with Him. They did every single thing with Him. And that's what I should do. You know, that if I'm going to hashtag follow Him, then that is what I need to do. I need to be with Him every single step of the way. So that's something that I come back from Faith Week every year with, that renewed dedication to do that. So I also want to thank you guys, for those of you who sponsor us and help us out with stuff like this. You know, some of our kids aren't able to go unless some of you provide monetary support. So I really want to thank you for that, because it's important. It really, really is. And so I want to thank you for those of you who support us with funds, with prayer. It's awesome. Keep it up. So, thanks.
All right, that's just a tiny little glimpse into what's happened just in the last month with us. And I feel like I should clarify before we go any further about the story with the bull pee. We were driving back, and there was a trailer with 2 cows inside of it. And at one point, the trailer started leaking water all over the van. So that was great. Luckily, we did not have the vents on. It was all AC. So no, we didn't actually get peed on by cows.
Bathroom was the control because there was a car like right there, so we had to just stare right back behind them until they actually stopped.
Yeah, it was great fun. I know that the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in the workers who go there, and I, again, want to thank every single person who allowed us to go to this. And thank just Hillcrest as a whole for getting us plugged into things like Faith Week and the Association Camp, and for just continually offering their support to the youth, because these guys love to get to be involved and to hang out with other students from all over the country. And it's just really great to see them come together and just have fun and learn about the Lord in places like this. And it was at Faith Week probably 6 or 7 years ago that I decided to get serious about my faith. And so I just want to thank you guys for plugging us in there and letting us do awesome, fun things that are right in the eyes of the Lord. So again, just thank you guys so much. And do you want to talk about Association Camp, Brian?
Okay, about Associational Camp, it was also really fun. I think I had more fun there than at Faith Week. I'd say it's about 50-50. And funniest thing was that happened there was I got put into dance class. But the flip side was I was the only guy doing it. Yep. I got a solo part about it, like quick dance and out. And I got to learn a lot more about God there. And the preacher was really, really good because I known him for since like the camp last year. Tim. And he was a really, really cool speaker. And his sermons were like really, really funny too, whenever sometimes he mentioned his wife in it. About like her not being able to swing a bat, I'm pretty sure. And well, he actually like helped us a lot and with the small groups. And on the last day, I was known as the guy from stall 3 for an accident I didn't even do. Somebody took a big dump in stall 3 and never, like, it was like all over the place.
Change the subject.
Sorry. Just had to get that out. And that's all.
I'm back.
I don't know what I want to say. I remember one night when we played nightlife games, and there was like 3 or 4 games that we played, and just one was the funnest to me that night, and it was, what was it called? No. Water polo. Me and my 3 best friends scored 22 points, and let me tell you, I may not seem like I can play, but I can. 22 points right here. To like 10, but it was fun. Yeah. Taking my ball, but yeah, it was fun.
Let's pray together. Lord, we've heard these testimonies of how you've been at work, Lord, in lives and hearts, and Lord, I know that any time that we are able to get away from our daily routine and go to other places and really dig into your word and hear speakers and hear music, that you never fail to show up. And I know that you've touched hearts and impacted lives. And, Lord, sometimes it's easy for us to express that and other times it's harder. But, Lord, we know you've done a good work and we know that your word doesn't return void. So I just thank you for the lives that have been changed this week. I thank you for the lessons that have been learned. I thank you for the grace that has been received. And I just pray that you would help us to continue to be a church that cares about generations that are coming behind us. I pray that we would continue to be sowing seed, and I pray that we'd be patient. I pray that we'd be kind. I pray that that we would be faithful to share the truth about God's word and the truth about Jesus being the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, as we speak tonight from your word, I just pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would use it according to your glory, and I pray that you would touch hearts and speak into lives tonight from your holy word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it does sound like they had a great time at Faith Week, and so I'm just going to briefly touch on my remarks tonight, but I wanted to get back into Revelation. We've been a while since we've looked in the book of Revelation, and so if you would, turn to Revelation 19, and we'll just kind of do an introduction tonight of chapter 19, which I'm calling Snapshots from the Second Coming. You know, as I was listening to the kids talk, of course, I've talked about reflecting today, and I remember a song from my childhood. Growing up as a kid at First Baptist Church in Richland, there was a song that I heard quite often, It was a Bill Gaither song that was pretty popular at that time. And it's a song that talks about what we're studying and reading about in this section of Revelation. It was a song that talked about the second coming. And by the way, there's some of you here in this room that knew this gentleman pretty well that loved to sing this song. Roy Salzman loved this song. And it went something like this. I'm not going to try to sing it tonight, but I'll read the words to you. It said, "The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate." And here's how the chorus went. "The king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. He's coming for me." Folks, that's a song that talks about an event that is in our future. It may be a ways away or it may be tomorrow. But the king is coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen? Amen. And so we've been looking at that in the book of Revelation. And really what we're looking at is a series of contrasts. Chapters 17 and 18 view it from the standpoint of people on earth who have rejected Jesus Christ and have rebelled against God and have gotten caught up into a world system, a political system, and a religious system that is anti-Christ. And in chapter 17, we studied and read, it's been a while back now, but we studied and read about the destruction of religious Babylon. And then in chapter 18, we looked at and studied and read about the destruction of political Babylon. All of these things, all of these false systems, folks, nobody's getting away with anything. Jesus Christ is the King. And one day, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we see here where Jesus is asserting His rightful place on the throne. And so we have a contrast. We have a scene on earth that pictures the response of rebellious, sinful people who are separated from God, who have rejected Christ. And then we get to chapter 19, to the good part. And we see a scene, yet another scene in heaven, of people who are worshiping and celebrating this grand return of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about it before I read these few verses. Kind of like a celebration at the end of a championship football game. You know how the cameras will pan the sideline and they'll pan the losing team and you'll see them dejected and sitting on the bench. Sometimes tears will be shed. And then they'll pan the winning sideline and the coach will be raised in his arms and you'll see fans cheering and applauding. And it's kind of a scene like that. It's a scene of victory. And in verse 1 of chapter 19, we see these words. "After this, I heard something like the loud voice of a vast multitude in heaven." And here's a very biblical word that you may not know, you don't see until Revelation chapter 19 in the New Testament. Hallelujah. We all know that word, don't we? It literally means praise God, praise Yahweh, or praise the Lord. And interestingly enough, you don't see that word one time in the Greek New Testament until the very end in Revelation chapter 19. But you see the word hallelujah. And then we see the main thing of what they're praising God about. Salvation, glory, and power belong to our God. Because His judgments are true and righteous. Because He has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality. And He has avenged the blood of His servants that was on her hands. A second time they said, hallelujah. Her smoke ascends forever and ever. Verse 4 says, then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down. Now, remember these odd beings? We talked a bit about them way back in chapter 4. The first scene in heaven. And while we don't really know who these creatures are, some speculate that the 24 elders represent completion. You know, there were 12 brothers, there were 12 tribes of Israel that might represent Old Testament saints. And there were 12 disciples that might be representative of New Testament saints. But I believe this represents all people that God has saved and called to Himself and will live with Him forevermore in heaven. Because it says, later on, it says a voice came from the throne after these 24 elders fell down and worshiped God. And it said, Amen. And there's that word again, Hallelujah. And the voice said, Praise our God, all you. There's that phrase, all. It's a phrase of completion. God is going to get every person that He has called to be saved. They'll all be in heaven. All His servants, you who fear Him, both small and great. And then in verse 6, you see the final hallelujah. Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters and like the rumbling of loud thunder, saying, Hallelujah, because our Lord God the Almighty has begun to reign. Now you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean the Lord God has begun to reign? I thought He was reigning. I thought He's reigning right now. He is reigning right now, but He's reigning in heaven. There's coming a day when Jesus returns, when He will restore His rightful place and position on earth, and He will reign on earth. Remember what you pray in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what this is picturing is the celebration that takes place as Jesus restores earth. And so what we're looking at here is a celebration of the millennial reign, the ushering in of a 1,000-year period where Jesus is Lord and He reigns and rules over the earth and He restores it. You know, the earth's just kind of messed up right now, isn't it? We have all kinds of things. We live in a fallen world. I think I said this one time before, but it's kind of like it's Silver Dollar City with Grandfather's Mansion. You ever been in Grandfather's Mansion? You know what it's like there. I mean, you try to walk and you can't hardly stand up, and there's mirrors and you look funky in the mirrors, and it's just all messed up. Pool tables upside down, the balls go the wrong way. Everything is wrong. Everything is wrong in this world. This world is beautiful. It's been created by God. We've been created in the image of God. We're His image bearers. But we live in a messed up, fallen world. And one day God is going to make it right. He's going to restore this earth to Himself. Paradise will be restored. And that's what's in view here. So the second coming of Christ, the first snapshot, and the only one we'll talk about tonight, is a hallelujah chorus. At the return of Jesus, all of heaven is rejoicing. And notice what they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing the salvation, the glory, and the power that belong to our God. Never forget that the message is, above all, don't get hung up in the prophecy and all the stuff that you don't understand. This is a message of salvation. Jesus saves. And people who hear His voice and respond to His message and call upon His name are saved. And they're changed like you talked about. And they have come into a right relationship with Him. But now, Natalie mentioned this in her talk just a moment ago. She talked about how we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Now, all we have right now is a down payment on that, right? A little taste of that. We have the Holy Spirit as a deposit, and I know the Holy Spirit works in my heart and life, and I feel Him, and you feel that too. And I know that God is with me. I've seen Him. I can look back in my life and see how He has had His hand on me. But I don't have everything yet. And this is speaking of a moment when we will have everything. Now, we're going to talk more about that later. The event really is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I can't get into that tonight. But this is a time where our salvation will be complete. What we know only in part now, what we've only heard about, we will then receive in full. What a glorious day and time that's going to be. So they say, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, praise to our King, because salvation has come. And they rejoice because His judgments are true and righteous. And I want to talk just for a moment about that. I'm almost finished tonight. But notice this second hallelujah. His judgments are true and righteous because He has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth. Now, a lot of people today, they really get freaked out. They just don't understand the difference, how you can have a loving God who is also a just God. And I want to contend to you as you read these kind of passages that talk about judgment and God judging and executing vengeance, that you can't have a loving God who is not just. Folks, let's just say, you know, I'm the head of my household, all right? I'm the head of my household. If I let somebody come into my house and totally destroy it, and take my wife and do unthinkable things with her or my kids and hurt them, I wouldn't be a loving father and a loving husband if I didn't do something to stop that, to do whatever it took to stop that destruction. And make no mistake, sin destroys. Sin destroys it. There's destruction in our world because of sin. And so what's happening here is a loving God who, by the way, has dealt with the sin and the evil in the world in a loving way at the cross, right? Jesus took all of our sins, all of the sins of the world upon Himself on the cross. And the worst mass murderer can have forgiveness if he'll only turn to Christ and repent of his sins. So God has given us mercy more than we deserve. But now, at the end of time, He's going to deal justly. Finally, justice is served. And it's permanent. I want you to notice something here. Notice one thing here. It says, the second hallelujah says her smoke ascends forever and ever. What He's talking about there is eternal punishment. There is eternal punishment for the Antichrist and for the false prophet and for Satan and for all of their minions and the demons. And unfortunately, even though it wasn't prepared for us, for men and women and boys and girls who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there is eternal punishment. Folks, you can't have eternal heaven without an eternal hell. And that's a tough message today. A lot of people don't want to believe in that. A lot of people believe, oh, an evil person that doesn't know Christ or a person that's not saved is just annihilated. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And again, we'll look more at that as we get into chapter 20. But this is a permanent judgment. And folks, it's not unfair. It is true and righteous according to God's Word. And so, God's plan for human history is now complete. And heaven rejoices over the souls that are saved. And heaven rejoices because God has begun to reign. So I want you to think about that song tonight, especially that chorus that Bill Gaither made so popular so many years ago. The King is coming. The King is coming. I have heard the trumpet sounding. And now His face I see. Can you see His face as the reigning and ruling King returns? Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Do you know Him tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Folks, there's no doubt about it. He's coming again. And while no man knows the day or the hour, we can be sure of His return. And when He returns the second time, He will come as conquering King. And He'll restore all things and make them right. And it'll be a reign that is an eternal reign. Let's bow together. Father, I thank You for the many things that we've heard tonight, the wonderful worship, the wonderful spirit that has been here, the testimonies of the kids and how they were challenged at Faith Week and at the Laclede camp. Lord, the decisions that were made, I have no doubt there were decisions that were made at those camps, life-changing decisions. And I thank You, Lord, for this word we have had as we continue to look through Revelation. It's not an easy book to preach through or really to look through because there are some hard things in there. But we know that You're a merciful God. And we know that we still live in a day of redemption, a day of salvation. We are to call on You while You're near. So Lord, I just pray now that if there's anyone that needs You right now in any way, that Your Spirit would speak to them, and I trust has already been speaking to their heart, and that they would not leave here tonight without being right with You. You are so kind and merciful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Thank You that You save us by the blood of the Lamb and that Jesus completely saves. Lord, I just pray that tonight, if there's someone that needs to come to this altar and be saved, or someone that needs to rededicate their lives, or something that needs to happen, I pray that Your Spirit will be free to move. And I thank You for each person who's here tonight. It's no accident that they're here, and every person who's here needed to hear what has been preached and what has been spoken. So Spirit, I just ask that You would do Your work right now, and that we would sing to You and give honor to You as You so richly deserve. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.